Blog Talk Radio.
Just as I am, we found one.
infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I am calling from New Orleans, Louisiana. And I just want to offer this prayer. While we pray, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank God for this prayer line once again that I am able to get on here and to host. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again, Father, we come to thank you for this blessed day that we can hear one another on this prayer line. And we are in the land and the living. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. And dear Father, we lift up this prayer line and we pray, Father, for each and every one of our brothers and sisters. May you touch their heart and may you help each and every one, Lord, to bless them, to give them encouragement to just thank you. If it's nothing but one word, say, for blessing me to be on this prayer line. And Father, as each one come, Lord, allow them to share. Allow them to give that testimony about you, Lord. It's about you. It's nothing about us, but it's about your greatness and all your power that you are doing every day through us and in us. Now bless this prayer line, Father, and we asking that you send your Holy Spirit, Father, to be with us tonight and fill us, Lord, with the love and kindness from heaven that you have poured out and shared with us each day we live. Thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of us tonight. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, and we also pray for each speaker that come here, Lord. And we also pray for the word that be read and the word that be shared on this prayer line, all of the testimonies. We pray for all that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And good evening, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to read the last day event on the board here, but I have a scripture that I just want to read later, but we're going to read this. It says, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquity, and the cup which she had filled to her double. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, saying, Atlas, Atlas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is the judgment come. Revelation 18, 5 through 10, 3, 5, and 17. And I just want to say, it says, also says, Great Controversy, 88653.1. And thank you, sisters and brothers, as God add to that reading. Now I want to be able to, one, and share, but I will open the line before I read the scripture because I have shared that part, and I would like to share another part. And I just want to say also, sisters and brothers, I am so grateful to my sisters and brothers on this prayer line because I have gotten much love from all of you. And I want to thank you once again. I have not been on the line for seems like a month, but I just want to say thank you for what all you've done from hosting, taking my place in hosting, and also covering for the time that I'm not here and praying for me so much prayers. Thank you so much. Thank you, and may God continually to be with each and every one of us. And I just want to let you know one more thing. When God says that we are to love one another, you all showed me that. So I just say I'm grateful once again, and thank you. So I will begin open the line because I see a hand up, and I will open the line for you to share. Amen. Oh, give me just a second. I'm hoping you can hear me. 518.
Amen. Amen.
Open. Amen. 518, your line is open.
Okay. Happy, good evening, my dear beloved, Sister Leola. This is Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. I just want to give God thanks, and thanks for the reading. And you know what? We want to thank God for God carry you through, and you can come to present the goodness of God and how we are to love one another. God is so good. My dear, I am here giving God thanks and praise, like my dear sister just gave thanks and praise. And yesterday, we were studying at Christ, reading Christ's object lesson. And the chapter that we were in, where we are in, it was chapter 6, the grain of mustard seed. And my dear, I was impressed reading this chapter because I knew, and I think every one of us knew, that the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds and the fruits, right? And this mustard seed, when you plant that mustard seed and you watch it grow, every one of us find it that it grow up into a big, stretchy tree. It spread with its leaves all around. The birds, you know, are in there, get their shade and, you know, singing in it. So it becomes so big that wherever you are, how far distant you from that tree, you can identify the mustard tree. And after reading it says, as Jesus spoke this parable about the mustard seed and how the mustard seed can be seen far and near, as I just said, and where the twigs just there fit with the birds, and where the birds sang their beautiful song. So this tree is a tree that everyone know. And God placed, just as all that tree grew up, spring, and, you know, feeding the bird get comfort. God, everyone can see the splendor, how beautiful that tree is. God is expected, the kingdom of heaven is just like a mustard seed. God wants his people, his children, right? It says, not only is the growth of Christ's kingdom illustrated by the parable of the mustard seed, but in every stage of its growth, the experience represented in the parable is repeated. For God expects his church in every generation. God has a special truth with a special work. The truth that is hid from the worldly, wise, and prudent is revealed to the childlike and humble. It calls for self-sacrifice. So, my dear beloved, let us shine our light. Let us be a representative for Christ. Let us be the people that God said we all should love one another. Let us go out and be obedient with to go out to present the message, the everlasting gospel message, Revelation 14, and the stage that we are showing. Let our light shine. So I thank God that, you know, God has been keeping me. I want to thank God for all the things that he has done. I thank God for, you know what, we learn so much from this prayer line. We learn how to treat each other by the word of God. We learn how to love our brothers and sisters. We learn more and more each day about the Ten Commandments, how we should be obedient. We also learn about the right arm to the gospel ministry of health and medical missionary. And we learn how, you know, to present our body a living sacrifice to God. And the list go on and on. And I know that God promises children that if we be obedient to his will, his command, we will able to accept, as we accept his word, as the representative, the ambassador, and the servant, we will be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, my dear, I just thank God for what you have been doing. Just give you a little report, just a report. My dear beloved, I'm telling you, our project is coming on. I said, Sister Leola, I didn't know this is a mansion, right? We have been doing one room, coming up to another room, coming up to, and today we were able to cast the floor for the second room to bring up. And these men work, Sister Leola, and that is manpower. No machine. They use their hand, mix that cement. After they mix that cement and that sand and that stone together, then manual person come with their hand with buckets. They took those buckets of mortar. After they lined out everything on the floor, pipe it out and shape it out, and how they're going to cast it to put up the structure. And when you watch them, my dear, you have to say, God, thank you for the wisdom that you have given your children. So we are moving by the grace of God, Sister Leola. We leave it in God's hand because we know God owns everything, and he promised that he will take care of his children. We have over 10 to 12 individuals today who came to help, and they have done a great job. So that it was, you know, that is exciting. It was very exciting. And also, we give God the praise, and we know God is able to do all things. So we have that going. We also have the food supply with the children, you know, and the seniors. And we have been feeding over 75 to 80 people every Wednesday with the church. With church and the community. So God is so good. So we ask you to continue to pray for us so that, you know, these projects will be completed and that the people will be blessed. Thank you, Sister Leola. God bless.
Amen, amen. That is a blessing, Sister Powell. And the work that God is blessing you to do, I tell you, it is in his hands. God said he don't start nothing that he don't finish. And I know God is able. And Sister Power, the blessing that God that has allowed your hands, God, you were going to see more. Praise God, you're going to see more. And when you build this one, then the Lord say, now, my daughter, what's next? Just stand back. What do you say, Sister Power? Stand back and see the salvation of God.
See salvation.
Amen, and he's going to
amen.
Do it.
Amen,
and I just want to share this testimony. And I was at church yesterday, and I thank my brothers and sisters for helping me and supporting me. There was quite a few turned out to support us as the family members and church members supported us at the funeral. And I was there yesterday. at church, and just many hugs and many just told me that the condolences, and I'm telling you, I got lots of love, and I was so appreciative with that. And Sister Power, when I left there, I asked the brother, I say, well, do you have any of them Sabbath tracts? And he said, well, I go to church, and I said, you know what, I'll follow you. So when I followed him to go get those Sabbath tracts, you remember, it says the Sabbath is the symbol of God rulership. And I put that little trifold in a name tag. I put it in a name tag, and I wear that on my shirt. Sabbath is God's rulership. And then also with the commandments on the core, it helps show people that all God's commandments is important. And my little niece looked at that. She stepped back, and she just looked at that. She said, well, ain't mama. She said, well, why is that fourth one is highlighted in red? She said, it must be important. She said, because it wouldn't be highlighted in red. And I just looked at her, and I said, I said, Lord, you said a child, even a child, will understand something. And when I said, and she, I think she was 6 years old at that time. I think she's going to be seven this year. But anyway, when I saw that, I say, praise God. But let me share with you, Sister Power and sisters and brothers, the Lord has been so good. So many people is recognizing. You know, I didn't get too many people in Louisiana, but now we getting all people are recognizing these commandments. And so yesterday, as I left from the church, well, actually, we have two churches that is gone under. One church, our building, our roof, and then the other church got flooded when the cold weather. So now both churches have come together in the cafeteria of the school. The school has a building that it has over 100, 200 children, something like that. So now we are worshiping at the school. And so when I left the school to go to the church, and we went to look for some of these flyers. And I told him, and boy, we went, looked in one room because they had to pack up some things so that side of the roof wouldn't cave in and it would save some of the material. So he said, I said, oh, don't worry about looking. So I left. And next thing, he came running out there behind me. He said, I found him. And I went run back in there. And I picked out some tracks, Sister Powell. And I said, well, can I have these? And he said, sure. So on my way leaving the church, they had a church out there doing some preaching and giving out food. And I stopped. I pulled on the side. I said, well, you know, this is some food that I can go and share on the Farler Boulevard, you know, over there where we were, Sister Powell. So I got out to share that food. Let me see how many people got their hands up because I just want to share this testimony right quick, my brothers and sisters. Okay. We got another one on. So as I shared that food on Florida Boulevard, I called the guys. I said, hey, guys, because they was getting ready. These guys goes in, and they have to go in by 4 o'clock because they check-in time. They have to go in. And I got there about 15 minutes before, and I said, hey, God, have some food. I said, would y'all like to get some food? And boy, they came running in, and they all got a plate. And I said, as a matter of fact, take two, because the guy had like a bowl fixed in like a little covered thing to share. And he packed my car up with that food, brothers and sisters. And I went and give it to them fellas full of boys. Sister Powell, I have not forgotten about those people just because my son's not there.
Amen.
And I would share that, and I say, Lord, thank you. And guess what? God gave me those tracts in time. I got out, and I gave tracts to all those men. And I told them, I say, please read it while you go in and lie down. I say, this is just a little something God going to bless you to read. And they were so happy. They were so thankful for the dinner. And they accept those tracts with all loving, kind, and respect. And they say, okay, thank you, Mama. They were calling me Mama. I said, well, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, God is good. I said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to listen to you, to hear you and listen. Because, you know, I could have said, well, I got my track and went on, come on home. But I said, no, I want to take some food to people because these people got a lot of food. So, yes, did that. And just as our work here on earth, brothers and sisters, and I hear from all my sisters and brothers on here, we got to continue doing that. So I thank God for that. So, but thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing and talking of your work that encouraged others to do work. Let me tell you something. When one do it and one speak of it, another. Listen how Sister Powell talk about. So as we speaking of it, others are doing the same. So thank you so much, Sister Powell, for being that leader and telling us what God is doing in your life. Amen. So now, brothers and sisters, that you press one. So thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and sharing, because your testimony, just like Christ's testimony, that's what we got to have. And the Bible says we got to have many stars, or you're going to have a star. You got to have at least one. We got to have some stars in our crown. So thank you, Sister Powell, for showing us the way. Amen. And we're going to open up this next line, sisters and brothers. Amen. So we open the next one. It's 985-647. We will open your line. Amen. Amen. The line is open. Seven, your line is open.
Good evening.
Okay, I think she's coming back on. She's had much trouble with her phone. Can you hear me? Sound like she's trying to connect.
Good evening, sister and brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I just thank God for being on this line today. I thank him for his love. Thank him for watching over us and waking us up. I just want to give a little testimony about what's going on with me now. About six, 7 months ago, I was going to another doctor, and the doctor wasn't doing good for me, so I left him. And he kept my folder and wanted me to come back. I never went back because he wasn't doing well. So I was going to this doctor I have now for a while. So this doctor, I went to his doctor, and I told him I was having a lot of pain. And I told him around my chest and different places and stuff. So he said, he looked at a, he had a chart just came in from another doctor. He said, did you realize you had chest pain? I mean, did you realize you had abnormal heart trouble? I said, no. He said, you remember taking heart tests anywhere or another doctor? I said, I can't remember. But my husband said he remembered, but I didn't remember. So, and make a long story short,
Brenda's phone has dropped. Yes, Sister Brenda's phone has dropped. Okay, my sisters and brothers, she's going to call back, so I'm going to open the next line. That's 423-635. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, good evening. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for another day. I'm thanking him, and I'm just praising him because he is worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. As you know, I shared an article with Sister Leola, and I spoke to my uncle yesterday. He said he lived in California. It rained for 2 weeks, and after the rain, everyone was sick. And we know that there's something going on. And I shared, sent the article for Sister Leola, and I didn't read all of it. I was reading some more today, and it said Texas, Louisiana, California, Florida, and other places. It's like a fungal. But we know the enemy is doing things, and, you know, it's in the lab. But if we trust in God, if we do what we should, God will protect us, and he will keep us from falling and present us faultless before his coming. And I just want to share this from this reading, Great Controversy. It says, "The Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth has also disclosed her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Isaiah chapter 26, 21. "And there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem." And we know he's talking about his people, not the Jerusalem that's there. We know the Lord will not come there. That's Jerusalem is the city coming out of heaven. Continue. "Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be amongst them, and they shall lay everyone one on the hand of their neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor." Zechariah 14:12. So we see that there is a strife that's going to happen even now in the mad strife of their own fierce passion, and by the awful outpouring of God's unmingled wrath fall the wicked inhabitant of the earth. Priests, rulers, and people, rich and poor, high and low, and the slain of the earth shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. So we see that this time is coming. Let us, brothers and sisters, be prepared for our Lord coming. Let us be found on the side of righteousness, holiness, which means, I was listening to a sermon about holiness, which means that we are holy unto the Lord, and we wholly believe in him, and we trust in him with all our hearts, and we are holy and set apart for his purpose and for righteousness' sake. So thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my life.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. I have a scripture that I was going to read earlier, and it's coming from Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And it's a little bit different, but this one called the great multitude that, and it says, "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and tongue and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, And when I to read that, there's so many people that John said that no man could number. And you know, brothers and sisters, as Sister Carla just read that scripture, I was going to read, but I said I wanted to read it for later. But now that she read it, I was thinking, like, Lord, we want to be in that number. And I had a song that I just wanted to sing, and I'm gonna try to attempt to sing this song. I was waiting for others to. Okay, sister, I'm gonna sing it after Sister Brenda gave her testimony. She was one to give. So let me open her line. So, Sister Carla, first of all, I want to thank you for reading that and sharing that with us. And then I'm going to let Sister Brenda, and then I want to sing that song. You know, it fits right in between the scripture you read and the scripture I'm reading here now. So let us open Sister Brenda's line. Amen. So thank you, Sister Carla, once again. And thank you, sisters and brothers, for being patient. And it is such a blessing to have you all here. And I know that God is seeing
that the love that you have, the fellowship you have with one another. So please be patient as we open the line and let others share. So let us open Sister Brenda line. Thank you. 647, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hummer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us and giving all us strength to come on this line and share. I was testifying about this doctor I used to go to probably a year ago, and I went to my doctor. I had changed doctors because he wasn't doing a good job. So I went to my doc. I changed doctors to the one I have now. I have a good one now, and I told him, how I was having pain everywhere. It was shooting different places, and it was close around the heart and everywhere. So he said, how long has it been going on? I said, it's been going on a while since I've been moved in and trying to put my pictures up and move my stuff in places and stuff. So he read my chart. He said, I just got a chart in from the doctor you had. And he said, you know you have an abnormal heart. I said, no. I said, who said he said that? He said, yeah, you never knew you took tests and stuff. I said, no, I never knew that. He said, my husband said he remembered, but I never remember. But he never gave us no feedback. So he said, well, he said you got an abnormal heart. And I said, all this time I could have died. I said, but thank God he looked after me. I thank the Lord. And I still thank him. I'm still living. I said, because I've been going everywhere, to gym, different places, up my stairs. I try to do a little exercise, and I got so short-winded, and I couldn't walk up them. I had to take a stop and breathe, and I couldn't make it. So I just thank the Lord for that because God is good. Because, you know, all this time, you know, my heart could have stopped. And they just took off because had me fly to lay down in the bed, and they took all kind of extra tests on me, stress tests and all kind of tests. They didn't find anything, and they couldn't find anything. They said, well, that's just you have an abnormal heart. And it's not much we can do, but we will give you something. We don't want you, it's to mess up your liver and your kidneys. And we don't want you to exert yourself. And I say to myself, well, Lord, I got to depend on you like I do for everything else because it's nothing but doctors, you know. And they've been through you all this time, so I got to continue depending on the Lord. So look how God is, look how long that's been. It's been so long. And the Lord just been taking care of me. So I thank the Lord for holding me and keeping me because I know he's good. When I was getting on the exercise thing, that's when I seen it, and I just stopped. So, y'all don't believe in God, you'll get to know him when something happens to you, and you'll show for yourself. But I know I believe in him because I got some testimony, me and my husband. So I thank the God for all he did through my testimonies. Amen.
Brother John. Hello, can everyone hear me? Hello, can everyone hear me?
Amen.
Okay. So I just want to give God the praise. You know, just thank you for another moment on the prayer line with everyone, my brothers and sisters, you know. And, thank God that my wife made out okay with that. And remind me, I have to call my sister, too. She was at the place at the same time as her. They talked. I'm going to get my sister a call, see how she made out with her, for her examination. She just reminded me that when she mentioned it. And but anyway, other than that, you know, we just be hanging in there and taking day at a time, you know, not rushing things, for things to happen, to go right and better, and just holding on to the faith, you know, no matter what, no matter good or bad, you know, just keep the faith, you know, that's how we do it, you know, thank God. So God is good. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing and giving y'all testimonies on how God have kept you here, even though what the doctor saw, you still. But stay faithful. Stay, just Sister Brenda, just pray and continue to take your herbs and eat right. You know, God got the last word. So thank you so much, Brother John and Sister Brenda. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I just read, it says at the bottom, let me read it over for you, because this is very important. He said, After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and tongues, and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. And it says, and palms. You know, those palms mean victory. I had underlined it, and I put victory. It said, and palms in their hand. You remember when the Bible says when Christ was entering Jerusalem, they had those palms waving? That means victory. I have underlined it in my Bible. And that's how we should make little notes and put what certain things. So when you go back and read it, it tells you what the whole, what the palms and what certain things mean. And it meant victory. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can't wait. We can't wait, because that victory, God, Our Savior had it, and we can have it too. So I would like to sing this song. Let me first see if I have anyone else, brothers and sisters, right now. It's 6:50. We got a little time. Nope, I don't have time. I have a few people like to share. So let me open these lines. Amen. So we're going to open this next person. So thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, again. And thank you all, brothers and sisters, for all that joined in. And we will open your line. We open the next one for 857-505. And your line is open. And be patient, brothers and sisters. I'll open your line next. Amen?
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. I'm so happy that you are feeling much better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like to thank God, Sister Miola, because God is good. He's merciful. He's the King of Kings. He's the Alpha and Omega, Sister Miola. I like to thank God for everything I've done for me and my mom. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. Today, Sister Miola, my prayer request today, Sister Miola, is to lift up my mom in prayer, because my mom needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, please lift me up in prayer. I need a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola, don't forget to lift up Sister Janelle in prayer. Sister Janelle is A-N-E-L-L-E. J-A-N-E-L-L-E. Sister Janelle, lift up Sister Janelle in prayer. Sister Miola, I'm lifting up Sister Sabrina in prayer. I'm lifting up Sister Sabrina's sons, her two sons, and I'm lifting up her daughters too. And please, Sister Miola, please, please, Sister Miola, lift up Brother Anthony Freeman in prayer, because Sister Miola, on Friday, Sister Miola, he called me on Friday. He called me on Friday and say to me, Brother Eli, you listen to me, Brother Eli. You call me late. You call me late last night, like midnight. And Sister Miola, if midnight, Sister Miola, I just pray. I don't call Anthony late at night. I don't call him late. I don't call him midnight. I don't do those
Amen.
Things, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, Brother Anthony Freeman is how you say that, accusing me. He's accusing me, Sister Miola. And he's Sister Miola, he's accusing me and he's attacking me. Tell brothers and sisters to please lift him up in prayer, because he's attacking me, Sister Miola. His name, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Eli. We got to watch how we bring, because suppose a person was online. You know, we're going to talk about it later, okay? We're going to talk about it later, Brother Eli, but we will pray. We will pray for all these requests that you have. And we're going to also lift up your mother, okay? And thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and giving us your prayer request. Amen? Amen, brothers
Amen.
And sisters. So we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to open the line for 240-988. We're opening your line, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Hello, how are you doing? Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. This is Sister Steffi. I'm calling from the Maryland DMV area. Just thanking God. I thank God for you. I mean, you sound much better. I remember we spoke last week, and you were under the weather somewhat. So I thank God for the remedies and for strengthening you so you're able to host the line. I'm going to ask you all for prayer for my co-host, my brother and my cousin, who is not is at the hospital right now. And I know that, you know, God is faithful. He feels okay, he says now, but he was experiencing some pain. And we know that that's the attack of the enemy, because when we are set to do God's work, when we're doing God's work, like Job, he will be quick, right, to inflict. But God trusts that we will be able to overcome. So I would like for you to all lift up Brother Elroy in your prayers and his family. During this time, or at the time when you all are getting ready to pray, and just continue to pray for me. I thank God. I know I too was feeling a little bit, under the weather, but once again, the natural remedy that we have been using, the cloves and the ginger and the turmeric, God is really working through that. And we know, we believe that God is the God of healer. And so I thank you so much for that. I don't know if Sister Powell is on the line. I want you to lift her up as well, as she is down there in Jamaica doing the mission and the venture and doing what God has called her to do, to be able to bless others at 81. So I want to ask you all to continue to lift her up in prayer. And my nephews, I'm asking you all to pray for them, Kimar and Rima. And OJ, Juice, asked God to keep them in prayer. And my grandniece, Blakey, I'm asking you all to pray. I actually had the opportunity to speak to them today. I haven't spoken to them in a long while, but I've asked, thank you. And my niece, Christina, and her children, just asking you all to pray, for them. And pray, Sister Paula, has a burden on our heart as well, to pray for our conference leader, our conference president, and our pastors, so that they will come back and be drawn to present the message for this time, to come back to the way, to our waymark, to our post that we are supposed to be preaching those present truth message for this time. Continue to pray for them as well. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line, and continue to keep me in your prayers as we keep you in your prayers as well.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Sister Stephanie for bringing all these requests and knowing that each and every one of us is on this list by God's grace. So thank you for coming and making that request, and also just lifting up and praising God for my healing. And you know what? When you do that for my healing, look, it was my husband, my daughter. We all, as Sister Carla said, oh, Sister Leola, y'all got something going on down there. Sister Nelda came here. She was sick. Everybody was sick. So, but grace be to God, because you know what? I use those herbs, sister, and those herbs is what all I've used. And I don't want my body to be immune to anything else, but when I use that, God, and trust him and believe he, you hear my voice tonight, I'm able to talk. So thank you. Thank you for praying. I want to say it again, my brothers and sisters, the love, I feel the love, I know the love, and I thank you for pouring out love and mercy for Sister Leola and her family. Thank y'all so much. I'm saying it again because, you know, it was just so powerful. Sister Richardson, Sister Carla, they got in that kitchen and they worked and they helped out. I was so grateful for everything. The Lord just tremendously blessed me through the help because I didn't know who I was going to get to serve, didn't know who I was going to get to do this, but I was blessed. So thank you once again for praying for me and continue to lift up my granddaughter because my sister's, she's going to be having that baby in about 2 months, and she got some situation there, which is the placenta is in front of the baby. So we got some danger. She's high risk. They need her in prayer. So we already know she's in a situation to have the operation. I'm just going to leave it at that operation right now. So please pray for her that God is able to turn this baby around and that the baby can be born, you know, natural in whatsoever the Lord allows. Amen. So once again, we want to thank our brothers and sisters for coming on at the Enlightened Ministry and sharing all the goodness of our Father and our Savior who truly love us and keep us every day. Amen. So let us see if there's anyone else that has the hand up to share. If there's anyone else would like to share, you can press 1 and your line could be open. I was going to attempt to sing a song because the blessing of God, this song that I wanted to share here, and it's just pretty much is talking about that great multitude. And it's, this song is The Welcome Table. It's, let us sing. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to sit at the welcome table, sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm going to feast on milk and honey. Oh, yes, I'm going to feast on milk and honey one of these days, hallelujah. I'm going to feast on milk and honey. I'm going to feast on milk and honey one of these days. I'm not going to go through all of them. I just want to say, we're going to sit at that welcome table by God's grace one of these days. I just wanted to do a little part of that. And my sisters and my brothers, I pray tonight that we are preparing. Me, myself, I know as I sit there and just look, stare at my son, what was going through my mind, Lord, I pray you have him in your hand. Lord, when he wake up, that he's going to come with you. So by God's grace, my sisters and brothers, I'm asking the requests, prayers for each and every one of us. I'm asking for prayer for my family. I'm asking prayer, as Sister Stephanie said, all those people that Sister Powell is there ministering to. Let nothing be in vain. Let us, for that we went out on Florida Boulevard, pray for them. We need prayers. So let us pray. Sister Katie always asking for prayers for her boys, her son, her daughter-in-law. Prayers. Prayers for them. All our brothers and sisters, Brother Rick asked for prayers for his daughter, his son-in-law, all of them. All sisters and brothers, let us pray. We need for all our families. Father, help us. So I'm going to offer a prayer, and I'm going to ask Sister Powell, if Sister Powell is still, but I will begin a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know our heart right now. Father, we come before you, Father, your children, asking you, Father, to help us right now. Convict us, Lord, of our sinful ways, and Lord, have mercy upon us tonight, that we would seek to do your will, Father, and nothing of ourselves. Father, we asking you, Lord Jesus, to come into our heart. And Lord, as we are pleading before you, Lord, we ask that you help us to deny self, and Lord, and accept your perfect will for our lives. Heavenly Father, most of all, I pray for the young, the youth, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy. Take the youth, Jesus, and help them. Fill them, Father, with the love of God. Let them know he's pleading in their behalf. He's calling. He's asking. He reaches out for them, Father. Allow them to reach and say, Jesus, take my hand, take my will, and take all from me, the things that not of you. Oh, Father, I'm asking you right now, Father. Lord Jesus, we praying for our children, Lord Jesus, as we hear so many babies, Lord Jesus. Lord, the babies are being beaten to death. The babies are being killed, Lord. Lord, a baby have no chance because they can't fight. They can't do nothing but cry. Heavenly Father, I ask that you keep these babies in your hand. Lord Father, the little children that can't fight back, they can't do nothing for themselves. Help them, Father. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, help the elders, Lord, the elders that can't do nothing else for themselves, but say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, Father, we asking you, Lord Jesus, to please touch their heart and allow them to know you, Lord Jesus. You said that you would be there for us, even in the time of trouble, even in that time that I can't do nothing but say, Lord, Lord, take my hand. Oh, Father, I'm just asking you, Father, right now, Lord, as I myself, Lord Jesus, have come to this point, Lord, I understand. I know what it feels like, Lord, when to lose someone now, Lord Jesus. I pray for my sisters and brothers, Lord. And, Lord, if it comes to anyone, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to strengthen each and every one right now, because not one of us know when or how we going to lose anyone. But, Lord, I'm asking you to prepare us. Help us, Jesus, because things is happening every day. So, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, tonight, Lord, let us give it all to you, because nothing, we can't handle it, Lord Jesus. So we give it to you, Jesus. It's all in your hand, all in your power, and we know that you can handle it all. So thank you right now as I plead, Lord Jesus, for each and every one, especially, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the teachers. I pray for their mind. I pray for their wisdom. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you give the teachers strength. Lord, I see how much struggle and it can cause pressure on their head, Lord. What they call it, Father, aneurysm, Lord Jesus. Teachers going through too much, Father. I'm asking that you help them, and Lord, and give these school boards, these people, the understanding. You cannot put that much pressure on someone without causing them a stress or aneurysm or some sort of sickness. Lord, have mercy. Help these children in the school, Lord, to behave themselves, to understand, Lord. Children are dying at a high number at 12, 13, 14, teenage, Lord, dying quicker than elderly people. Lord, Father, help them. We got so many, Lord, round here in Louisiana that are being buried. Have mercy. Father, thank you, Jesus, right now. Lord, as I ask prayer, Lord, I'm asking that you be with each one of us on here tonight as we go to sleep. Please take care of us while we're sleeping. And Lord, and while we are continuing to keep you in our, keep you, Father, for you to keep us in your hand is what I want to say. I'm asking that you to help us to remember to ask for forgiveness of our sins and lay it all at the feet of Jesus, and that he can take this and bring it to the Father. We thank you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sister Power, I want to ask that you offer a prayer also. Let me open your line. Give me just a second. Mr. Powell, you heard.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, my dear beloved. All right. Let us go into another word of prayer. Most righteous and eternal Father, we lingered a little longer at your feet to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of the day. And now we are in a new day. We want to thank you for your love and your mercies towards us. We thank you for your protection and your care. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us to realize that your coming is near by the things that we saw all around us. But we thank you for your message of truth that you gave unto us in your word. We ask you, Lord, forgive us of all our many sins and our shortcoming, and help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Lord, we thank you for our servant, Sister Leola, the strength, the comfort, you have blessed her. Father, and comfort her while she's mourning. In spite of what happened and what took place, Lord, she do remember Florida Boulevard, that she can go down to witness to her other children, them down there, and to bring joy in their heart. So we ask you for your blessings on Florida Boulevard and those wonderful people, dear Lord, that you have placed there. Help, Lord Jesus, that they will get the help that they need. Now, dear Lord, as you have listened to the request from your daughter, as she prayed on behalf of our brothers and our sisters and everyone who joined here. And Lord, we lift them up a little longer to you as we lift up, Lord, Brother Eli. Lord, you heard his request, his call. Help him to trust you. Father, we present Anthony Freeman to you. You know everything about Anthony and what his desire is. We ask you to touch his heart so that he will show more compassionate love. And also, Brother Eli, that Brother Eli will also know that he must shun the very appearance of evil. So we place Brother Eli in your care for strength. He's asking for prayer for his mother. You know what his mom needs. And dear Lord, you have been providing and you have been helping. So we just want to say thank you for what you have done for Brother Eli and his mother. Heavenly Father, we lift up again to you, Brother Rich, Lord. You know everything about him. As he cries out to you for his son-in-law, he cries out to you for his daughter, he cries out to you for his two grandchildren, he cries out to you for John, and also the evangelism that is going on in his community, Lord. Have your own sweet way, and we depend upon you. I remember Brother Rick always praying for Jarvis. Lord, he never leave out Jarvis out of his prayer. So this evening, Lord, we are lifting up Nehomi, right? And also Brother Rick's grandchildren and Brother Rick's son-in-law to you. You know everything about them and what they need. So we breathe them in your care. We are lifting up the Richards family. We heard what's going to happen, what took place there in some of these little countries and these little states. After they had made and planned what they're going to do, they can cry it out, cry aloud, and tell people what is going to happen. But we know you are in control. This world was created to you, and you have created this world. So, Lord, help us as your remnant people that we will know the truth and we will abide in the truth and we will leave the truth, Lord Jesus, to you so that we can go and share it. So we present our brothers and sisters to you. We present Brother, sister Carla and her children. Lord, we lift them up to you. Sister Stephanie and her children, Lord, we lift up as she is praying, dear Father, for the youth and praying for those who are mourning. We lift them up to you, Lord. And also, dear Lord, she is praying, dear Father God, so that the Holy Spirit will touch our church, brothers and sisters, your church ministers and leaders, that they will come back to the way mark that you have given unto us and the foundation that you sent your church on. So, Father, we plead for the president, Lord. He is crying out, Lord. Oregon, Lord Jesus Conference, we are asking you to touch each brothers and sister there. Allow them that you have given us 10 commandments and that you said we must be obedient to your commandments. And they are planning, dear Lord, to have service on Sundays, Father, in which you gave us the Sabbath. Heavenly Father, have your own sweet way. Intervene, Lord, in the hearts of your people and allow them to know if they fall for Sunday, they will fall for the mark of the beast. Lord, so have your own sweet way. We lift up Sister Carla. Continue to bless our keeper. We also lift up our young people. You know everything about them. We lift up our speakers, Lord, all the speakers, Brother Ricardo, Brother Akeem James, Lord, Brother Richards, Sister Stephanie, Brother Udi, Brother Oliver, I cannot remember that name, Lord Jesus. Our young people, we lift them up to you, dear. O'Neill, yes, Lord, we lift them up to you. Heavenly Father, this evening, we present every brothers and sister, those whose unspoken requests, you know their needs, and we are asking you to supply And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep us. Help us to be faithful. Bless the message this evening that will be coming down from heaven, fresh bread from heaven, that we will all surrender our life fully, turn to you, and be obedient to your will so that we will carry out your work. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer, because truly we need it. We need it, my dear. As I was saying, we have the youth that need prayers. When you look at, I'm going to just use my granddaughter, for instance. Right now, she's 16 years old, and she's about to have a baby. And she really don't know the danger she's in. So I'm asking all my sisters to please keep her in prayer because, like I said, she's very high risk. So, and I really appreciate that. But let me just open Brother Rick's line, and he might want to share, brothers and sisters, before Brother Akeem will be here in a couple of minutes. So let's just open Brother Rick. Your line is open.
Thank you.
You can share. Amen.
Thank
Sister
you,
Powell, Sister Leola. Prayer.
Yes.
She's also a prayer for your family already. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying for me. I just thank you for opening my line. And I just returned home visiting my parents. And praise the Lord, they are doing reasonably well. My mom is having some health issues. She had a mini stroke while we were there. Nothing only lasted for just a few minutes, but she's doing okay at the moment. And I just want to pray for them. You know, they're getting along as well as they can. And, you know, I can't help but feeling, you know, that that as the Lord's return gets closer and closer, we're going to see more of our older parents, you know, family members pass away. The Lord will lay them to rest for their good, and we hate to see that. But I have come to that realization with my parents, and, you know, God is going to do what's best for them. So I am trusting in him, and I am at peace with whatever decision he makes. And I think as we continue on in our Christian walk, sisters, you know, all of our brothers and sisters here, that God is going to make decisions that we don't understand, and he's going to cause things to happen, but we have to trust him that he is doing what's very best for each one of us. So I am just praising him for being an awesome and mighty God, for always hearing and answering our prayers, for doing what's best for us, even when it doesn't agree with what we want. And oftentimes he has done things in my life that I didn't really agree with or like. But after a few years or you know, maybe a little shorter, that you see that and you think, wow, if God hadn't done that, I may have gone in a different path and come out much worse. So, you know, he's awesome. And he is merciful and gracious and kind and loving. And I'm just praising him for that. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. Please keep praying for me, for my daughter Ashley, for her children, for all of my family. Yeah, I just thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line, and thank you, Sister Powell, for praying for me and my family. I just appreciate that, and just grateful to be on the line. So thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Brother Rick, and for your encouraging words. I just pray. Sister Powell, you want to offer a prayer for his mother? Offer that prayer, Sister Powell.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, my dear beloved. We're going back in a prayer for one of our dear servants, mother, so we all can join in praying for Brother Rick's mother. Father in heaven, we come again to you, Lord. You are so good. You are not tired to listen to your servant pray on behalf of our brothers and our sisters. But now this is mother, dear Lord, a son, Brother Rick. Lord is praying on behalf of his mother, dear Lord. You know everything about mother, dear Father, the love that mother has given unto his son, his children. And now sometimes when we look and we saw what they're going through, dear Lord, we know we have a Father above who promised he can supply our needs. He can heal our sicknesses. So this evening, Lord, we present Brother Rick, mother and father to you. Strengthen them. He is blessed to have both parents, Lord. And I do know, dear Lord, the love that he is extended, Lord, to mommy. I know mommy appreciates it, Lord Jesus. And I'm asking you this day, send your angels at her bedside. Keep her, guide her, Lord, and protect her. And Lord, it is in your hand, as we said, let your will be done, dear Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have faith in you and to trust you. So that we know that, dear Father, you said to us that we must believe in your prayer and, dear Lord, leave it in your care. So we just want to say thank you for mom, the little mini stroke that mom got. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch her, dear Lord, that she will come back on her feet, dear Father, and that she can praise you and give you thanks. Give Sister Brother Rick that strength. And, Lord, supply his needs, Lord, and we present not mother alone. We present Ashley to you, dear Father. We present those two grandchildren to you, and we present the son-in-law to you, dear Father, and the whole family, Lord. Hold them under your wings and protect them from all things, Lord, and give them the strength that they can praise you. And give you thanks for what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Power, for prayer again to lift up the family. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing with us also. So God is good, brothers and sisters. Our brother, Pastor James, is here, so we will open his line. And heaven and Sister Power has already prayed, and brothers and sisters, we will open up Pastor James' line, and he can begin his message. Amen. And we just want to thank our brother and sister once again. Now, this line is open.
All right. Thank you so much. And as we go into this evening's subject, I want to share with us something that I've been looking at recently, and just to be reminded of in terms of the return of Jesus, and pray that it would be a blessing to you. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we could spend in your word. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us understanding. I pray and I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, so this is coming from Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50, speaking of the cross, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit," or "yielded up the ghost." One second. Okay, yeah, so "yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent." So I find it very powerful and very interesting. We read here about Jesus giving his life to humanity, and then it says, as if God was opening the way to all who would come, it says the veil in the temple was rent. Historically, that veil was very thick, and God came into the picture here, and from top to bottom, he ripped it and shredded it in half, showing that now the way was made for all into God's throne, into the place where God dwells. It says, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now notice what it says in verses 52 and 53. The graves were opened. But, however, though the graves were opened, it says many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now remember, this happened when Jesus died, right? So when Jesus died, graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept, that means which were dead, arose. And this is of a certain group. Then it says in verse 53, they arose at the death of Christ. Then in verse 53 it says, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So they rose when he died. The graves were open, but they didn't come out until after he rose. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So this is really amazing. We find that there was a resurrection when Jesus Christ died. And this resurrection was so powerful. These resurrections were so amazing. It says, the reason being that the people who rose from the dead, they went out to actually be a witness to many. It says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now concerning this resurrection, this special resurrection which took place when Jesus arose, we find a commentary, a divine inspired commentary on it in the book Christ Triumphant, in the devotional Christ Triumphant, page 286. And this is what it says there. The verse at the top for the devotional thought is, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. It says, during his ministry, Jesus raised the dead to life. He raised the son of the widow of Nain and Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, right? So these people, they rose from the dead as well. So what's so different about when Jesus died, people rose from the dead? There's a major distinction. What is the distinction? The son of the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus, commonality that they had is it says, but these were not clothed with immortality. After they were raised, they continued to be subject to death and decay. So ultimately, they died again. But those, here's the difference with those who came out of their graves at the resurrection. They rose when he died, but came out of the tombs where they were resting after Jesus' resurrection. It says, but those who came forth from the grave at Christ's resurrection were raised to everlasting life. They were the multitude of captives who ascended with him as trophies of his victory over death and the grave. Okay, so when Christ arose and came out of the tomb, these people also came out. The difference between them and Lazarus, the son of the widow of Nain, is that the son of the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus all died. They were raised from the dead, but they all died again. However, these people that were raised when Christ died came out of their tombs at his resurrection. They were clothed with immortality. In other words, God raised them that they should never more see death. Those who had been raised were presented as trophies to the heavenly universe. For what purpose? They were samples of the resurrection of all who receive and believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So this small resurrection that had taken place, this few, this group that were raised from the dead at Jesus' death, this group, almost like a guarantee, a sample, a type of the great antitype of the harvest of all those across the ages that will be raised from the dead at the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the just. They were a symbol of the final resurrection of the righteous. That same power that has raised Christ from the dead will raise his church as his bride and glorify him with Christ above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the heavenly courts, the world above. Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. This very scene, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, was observed in type by the Jews at one of their sacred feasts, called the Feast of the Jews. They came up to the temple when the first fruits had been gathered in and held a feast of thanksgiving. The fruits of the harvest crop was sacredly dedicated to the Lord. As Christ ascends while in the act of blessing his disciples, an army of angels encircles him as a cloud. Christ takes with him the multitude of captives as his trophies. He will himself bring to the Father the first fruits of them that slept, to present them to God as an assurance that he is conqueror over death and the grave. So this is powerful. What we are realizing here is that in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was leaving his disciples for the final time, and the angels were raising him from the earth, and he was giving the declaration of the Great Commission, these people that rose from the dead came out of their graves at the resurrection. Friends, they went up with him at that time. That's what we're reading here. As Christ ascends, while in the act of blessing his disciples, an army of angels encircles him as a cloud. Christ takes with him the multitude of captives as his trophy. And who are the multitude of captives? We just read about them in paragraph 1, which says, concerning those who came forth from their graves when Christ rose from the dead, they are the multitude of captives who ascended with him as trophies of his victory over death and the grave. So this is a powerful thing, friends. Christ was so serious about the fact that he will raise all who believe in him from the dead at the end of time, that when he rose 2,000 years ago, he raised these people to take them as a guarantee of that. He wanted us that when we look back, we can have the hope of the resurrection. That, friends, we can have the hope that even if we perish, we shall rise again. And we can have the hope, friends, those that we may have lost in this life, friends, that we can have the hope as we look forward, as they put their lives in the hand of Christ, that we can look forward to one day seeing them again. The goal now is, however, that we may live a life of holiness, so that the chance can come of a great reunion at the very end, a great reunion to those whom we have lost. And so this is why we must seek to remain ever faithful. The original place where this is taken from is actually manuscript 115, 1987, but it is laid out, Christ Triumphant, the devotional, page 286. I find this very powerful because it just shows us that Christ cares enough to leave in Scripture examples of what he will do when he comes, so that we may receive hope. It's amazing because inspiration tells us that we should contemplate the life of Christ, especially the closing scenes. And many Christians know what evil meditation is. They know what evil contemplation is. They know what Eastern meditation is, and that they know we should stay away from. Many Christians, I realize, do not understand what David meant when he said, I meditate on thy law day and night. Many times we come to the Scriptures and we read the Scriptures. We may read a passage and then we go our way. We may even break down the Hebrew and the Greek and we go our way. We may read from the Bible and then try to expand our understanding through reading the Spirit of Prophecy, and all this is needed. It is necessary. What I realize is we do not know necessarily how to stop and contemplate the life that we're reading about, which is what Ellen White tells us to do, to contemplate the life of Christ. She said we should let, here it is, the imagination grasp each seed. So you know what that takes? That takes at times, and I've been doing this recently in my own experience, that after I read a story and I study it, to sit back from that study and to think about what I just read, to allow my mind to visualize the story in my head. And this way, you're not practicing Eastern meditation, which is the emptying of the mind. This prepares the way for the enemy to come in. And that's why it's so dangerous, through chanting certain statements and putting your mind in a state of trance by emptying your mind through a certain mantra so that the enemy can take over. No, this is not what we're called to do. But we are called rather to fill the mind with what? With the very things that we are reading. That as we read of the life of Christ, to sit back for a moment in the quiet of the day and allow our minds to grasp the pictures of what we are reading. That when you read the story of him going into villages and healing the sick, that you may stop and process him. Think of him walking into those villages. Think of the facial expressions of those that were healed. Think of his own facial expressions, which were tender. And friends, when you read of the story of the ascension, of the story of his death and the resurrections that took place at his death, and how when he rose, how these people we just read of came forth from the tombs when he arose, from their graves when he arose, and they went forth into the city. Take time to process that in your minds. Can you imagine? I was doing this the other day, sitting back, because when I'm studying in devotion, I usually study in my room on my knees, the side of my bed. And this came from a statement and inspiration where she talked about studying the Word of God on our knees in a prayerful attitude. And of course, it's not that everyone can do that. Some people may not be able to bend their knees, depending on maybe certain situations, physical restraints. Friends, if you can, try it. But if you can't, know that God meets us where we are. But I was trying that based off of the statement that she stated. And as I've been studying, it's powerful what the Lord shows you. Once I was done studying, concerning what I read of these resurrections, and them going into the holy city and witnessing into the epicenter of Judaism, I sat back. As I sat back from my bed on the floor, closed my eyes, and began to think about what I was reading. Began to allow, as she says, the imagination to grasp each seed. And so I was thinking about it in my mind, thinking of them coming forth from their graves. In another place in inspiration, it mentions that these people were actually the martyrs of old, men who had given their lives for Christ in the Old Testament, given their lives for the truth of God's word. So these men had died maybe painful deaths. Christ raised them from the dead. Maybe among that group was that last martyr before Christ died, that last martyr in John the Baptist. We don't know. Maybe among them was Isaiah the prophet. Maybe among them was Abel. And now think about that in your mind. Let the imagination grasp each thought, each scene. As I was thinking about it and processing that in my head, can you imagine that this is a manifestation that cannot be argued against? And this is why it's so powerful. The people may have said, the chief priests and elders and leaders may have said, that this resurrection that you're hearing about is a lie. But the further back in history, remember, the further back in history you go, the older, the longer men and women lived, one, and two, the taller they were. And so can you imagine as you go back in history, you see these pictures, you see these people who were of different ranges in height.
and you have that at the resurrection, because Christ even counted Abel as a martyr. He said, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, whom you killed between the porch and the altar. So picture these images of people coming forth from their graves of all sizes. And we're actually told that in the Great Controversy, that at the resurrection of the just, at the second coming, as she spanned over the earth and she saw the earth, she saw men like Adam, men of noble stature and height, and others who were shorter. Of course, in heaven, they all would grow up into the same height. But when they're raised from the dead, they rise with the stature that they had at death. And so you can imagine, this is why the message of the resurrection that these people were giving, that rose from the dead and came forth from their graves at Christ's resurrection, it couldn't be refuted. Some people, as they saw somebody entering their city, they saw people who were probably 9 feet tall or taller. They probably saw people who were of their own height, people of all different sizes coming to them, telling them that Jesus is risen from the dead. Friends, that is a testimony that cannot be refuted. It is a testimony that would be immortalized in the minds of the people. That's how powerful this thing was. And so in light of this, as they bore witness, this truth lodged itself in the minds of the people, that regardless of what the chief priest and the scribes said, it could not be refuted. That must have been a blow to the very lies that were being told. You see, right now in our generation, God desires to do a work like that, in this sense, that in our day and age, you have people questioning the resurrection, people who doubt that it ever happened, people who doubt that Christ even died. They doubt that there was, and the reason being that they doubt that there was even a man called Jesus that existed, that was called the Messiah of the Jews. So all of these things, friends, all of these doubts that people have, but when Christ rose from the dead, he had power, because he sent these people, raised them from the dead, and sent them forth into the epicenter of Judaism, Jerusalem itself. And as they declared his resurrection, men of all heights, different stature, friends, people could not stand against the declaration. And this is so powerful, because that's what God is going to do again today. He is going to give such power to the truth of his existence, to the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ through his people and through miracles that he would do through them. Friends, at the very end, it will be impossible to refute. The only way to refute it is that, according to 2 Thessalonians, men will rather love a lie than receive truth. They did not have the love of the truth. And so what will happen? God stepping aside, the Bible says he will send them a strong delusion. Meaning what? He stands aside in light of their rejection of truth and allows the enemy, whose lies that they so love, to come and entice them. Friends, may we not stand in our generation on the sides of false teachers, of people like the scribes and Pharisees, following people that deceived the nation of Israel. In our generation, there are men and women who are leading people astray, but may we believe the truth of God's word and the inspired counsel that he has given to amplify that word. Because Christ is Christ is soon to return in the clouds with power and great glory. And we want to be prepared for that, so that we will be able to stand and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited on him, and he has come to save us." As we look at this story of the resurrection, one of the other things I wanted to point out is that there's also another resurrection coming. There are a few special resurrections that will take place at Christ's return. You can find this in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 1, actually, and verse 7. So looking forward, this special group that arose when Christ died is a precursor to all the just that will rise at the second coming. But it's not just the just that will rise at the second coming. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him," that is, every eye of them that are alive at that time, "and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." So in other words, the people that were involved in the crucifixion of Christ, in getting him killed, these people will be raised from the dead as well. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, it brings out this point even further by saying, all right, it says here, let me make sure I get this right for us. Okay, Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, and I'll read it from verse 62. "The high priest arose and said unto him," that is Jesus, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of a witness? Behold now, ye have heard his blasphemy." And this is serious, because when you read in the book Desired Ages, the high priest renting his robe was not allowed for an occasion like this, because it represented the character of Christ. So by him doing it, the Old Testament priests were never to rend their robes, especially in cases like this, because the clothing represented Jesus himself. And so the high priest doing this, it was for show. He knew the scriptures, and so he knew this. But to dramatize and to instigate his intentions of getting Christ crucified, he rent his robe. And so in light of this, the people followed and said that he committed blasphemy, and so they sought to unite now with the priest to have him killed. But you remember, Jesus says it's not only that he was the Son of the living God, but that those who were there would see him coming on the right hand of power in the clouds of heaven. This was a reference to the second coming. And so in this situation now, it's powerful, because Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 echoes the same point, that those who were involved in getting him crucified be raised from the dead to behold him coming in the clouds with power and glory to receive his people. And so this is powerful. But there is yet another group. There is yet another group that will rise. All right? There is yet another group that will rise, and I want to see if I can get this for you guys. I was looking for these statements concerning this from the Ellen G. White estate, and it brings it out very clearly, actually. So I want to make sure I get the statements for you so that you can see it as well. And this is found in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And you can look at we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 and 13. Right? Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. And I want you to notice what it says here. All right, hold on one second, friends. All right, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It says here the following. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven This is after the three angels' messages now. Verse 14 onward is speaking in reference to the second coming. But I want you to notice what it says here. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven just before the second coming happens. Heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead. So this is speaking after the time the three angels' message is given. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That is, die in the Lord from now on. From when on? From the time of the giving, the first giving of all three angels' messages. Now remember, we proclaim the three angels' messages today, first, second, and third. But friends, the powerful thing about this is that these three messages at one time was not understood. The first angel's message was discovered by a man by the name of William Miller. From 1831 all the way to 1844, this message was declared, the first angel's message. That's Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. The second angel's message concerning Babylon being fallen, this message was first given just before the Great Disappointment by a man by the name of Charles Fitch. He was a Millerite, and he superseded William Miller in an understanding of this message. It was tough for William Miller to first receive it. Later on he did, and the message was that in light of the churches not accepting the truth of the second coming, truth that the world, that a judgment day was coming, and all the evidences that were connected with it, because it is true that the Millerites got the event wrong, but the date was right. A judgment was about to start on October 22nd, 1844, the Antitypical Day of Atonement. We are living in that time of judgment right now. But the Millerites taught that it was the day of judgment in the sense of it was the day of the second coming. So they had the date right in terms of calculating it through the 2300-year prophecy of Daniel 8:14, but they had the event wrong. Charles Fitch, along with the Millerites, having this understanding, they proclaimed that the world was soon to be destroyed, that judgment was indeed coming. But in light of the churches claiming to love Christ, but yet hating the message of unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, and also hating the Millerites. In light of this, Charles Fitch saw in these churches the manifestation of Babylon. The churches of the United States of America that had rejected the Millerite message, he identified them. This was the first time when the churches were identified as Babylon. Before that, the papacy was only seen as Babylon. Friends, at this point, now her daughters were seen. These other Protestant churches that were rejecting the truths for the time, they were seen as Babylon. And you could actually go on the Ellen G. White audio website, and Charles Fitch's sermon on that is actually there. And so he shared the message. William Miller was bit upset about it, but then after studying, he realized that Charles Fitch was correct, and he received it. And so in light of that, check out what happens now. The second angel's message is discovered. So the first angel's message and the second angel's message is discovered, all right? But not until after 1844, from 1844 onward, did the third angel's message come to light, all right? So in light of this, this is powerful. When this happened because a man by the name of Hiram Edson was walking through the field, he was a Millerite, trying to make sense of the disappointment. And as he was walking through the field with another comrade of his, a fellow Millerite, it dawned on him that they had a misunderstanding of what constituted the sanctuary, that there was a sanctuary in heaven that was in operation now, and this was the sanctuary to be cleansed. As he brought this forth to the rest of the believers of the Millerite message, friends, it blew their mind away. And they began to realize that while they had the date right, they had the event wrong. So they started to go back. And as they went back, they began to understand more and more of what is called the third angel's message from Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. And this now, these people who were part of the Millerite movement, having an understanding of the first, the second, and then after the great disappointment, the third angel's message was the first generation with all three messages. And as such, did they die. Such a generation, having an understanding of all three messages now, and they were expecting Christ to return in their lifetime, but due to a lack of faith, due to a lack of unity, according to inspiration, they all perished in those three messages. The first generation of those who discovered all three messages, hoping to go home, died in the third angel's message. This is why Revelation 14 is written the way that it is. It's written in the way that it is to help us to realize that, whoa, these people could have actually seen Christ return, but because they were not ready, friends, they perished in the third angel's message. They went forth witnessing, testifying, declaring the truths of God's word. Friends, they were not able to see the coming that they so anticipated. So I want to read a statement to us that brings this out. All right? And actually, this is found, it's called The Special Resurrection, September 30th. You can find this in the book Maranatha. You can find it in the book Maranatha, and the date is September 30th. This is what it says here. And it references Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." It says, she says, "It was at midnight that God chose to deliver his people. As the wicked were mocking around them, suddenly the sun appeared shining in his strength, and the moon stood still. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. But there was one clear space of settled glory, whence came the voice of God like many waters, shaking the heavens and the earth. There was a mighty earthquake." And here it is. Here it is, all right? So this is before the general resurrection of the just. As Christ is about to come now, the voice of God is heard. And you remember Christ prophesied in Matthew chapter 24 that the heavens, not just the earth, but the heavens would be shaken. What would shake the heavens? It is God's voice, as we just read. But as this happens, something else takes place. Just like when Jesus rose from the dead. Just like when Jesus died, I should say. An earthquake happens, so we hear the voice of God. There is a mighty earthquake, and then notice what happens next. The graves were opened, and those who died in faith, under what? The third angel's message, keeping the Sabbath, came forth from their dusty beds, glorified, to hear the covenant of peace that God was to make with those who had kept his law. All right? So they rose, those who died, the first generation to ever discover all three angels' messages, dying as they found out the third. This generation is raised from the dead to hear God declare his covenant with the rest of those who kept his law. Those who sleep in Jesus will be called, and then it says, those who sleep in Jesus will be called forth from their prison house to a glorious immortality. He has risen, dear friends. And in your despondency, you may know that Jesus is by your side to give you peace. And so this is a powerful thing that she is stating here. Lastly, she states this. We want to be prepared to meet these friends as they come forth in the resurrection morning. Shall we lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel that we shall be like him? For we shall see him as he is. And friends, when you do further research, can even contact Ellen White Estate, and they will actually mention to you that this is actually what Ellen White meant, that all those who died in that first generation that discovered the three angels' messages, not us who, yeah, now we know about it and we're continuing to build on it. We've had it for about a century or just over that. Friends, we have these messages. But it was with painstaking effort that the ones who first discovered it understood it, hoping that in light of their understanding of it, they would be able to go home. But you remember what kept them back was that they rejected the message of righteousness by faith when it could have made a difference. The result was, because they may have had the prophetic understanding of the third angel's message, but rejected the third angel's message in verity. What is the third angel's message in verity? Justification by faith in Christ. Because they rejected it in its verity, understood it prophetically, but rejected it in its verity as it relates to the righteousness of Christ, God knew they would not have been ready to meet the crisis. And so he laid them, that generation that first discovered the three angels' message, to rest. But there was a promise to them, because many of them came to finally understand it in the end. And there was a promise to them. I know the painstaking effort you went through, the trials, the efforts you made to spread this message, and your death will not be in vain. There is a special resurrection coming in which I will raise you to see me make that covenant and uphold the covenant that you declare upon first discovery. So I pray that that makes sense, friends. I pray that this made sense. And I pray that we will find ourselves standing when Jesus returns alive. And if we should pass before that, that we would rise that day because we have been living for Jesus. Father in heaven, pray that these things we covered this evening made sense. Guide us, O Lord, and strengthen us. Do your great will within our lives. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Akeem, we want to thank you for explaining that to us. And what I bring to my sisters and my brothers on this prayer line, Lord, strengthen us that we don't leave and reject what we know by God's grace, because, you know, we just got to pray for all so they would be able to turn back. So let us keep that in prayer. And let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so many, Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, that's turning from your will. And, Lord, and that they're saying it's not true, or Sister White is not this, and all these things, Lord. But we got to hold to our faith and believe until Christ comes, because I'd rather err on Christ's side than man. So, Father, be with us tonight while we sleep, and take care of all of us, Lord. Lord, when we go to sleep, Lord, we just leave our hand, our life, into your hand. So we thank you tonight. Bless Brother Pastor Akeem, and bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we slumber and sleep. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, my sisters and brothers. May you have a good rest and peaceful night. God bless, and I just play this song until. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.